Mexico Star Theater, a special service rebroadcast of one of America's favorite radio programs for you fighting men of the United Nations. Portland Hoffa, Jimmy Wallington, Al Goodman and his orchestra, and Fred Allen.
Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, New Yorkers held their traditional Easter parade on Fifth Avenue. Tonight, we bring you a man who was seen at the Easter parade selling gardenias. And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Jimmy, I'd just like to tell you, that same joke was the first joke in Jack Benny's program tonight, incidentally.
Still but good.
I know. Well, from now... No, it isn't. It's not really. It wasn't even good on his program. I don't know. But from now on, fortunately, the program is different from here on in. And, Jimmy, I wouldn't talk about the Easter parade if I were you. I saw you in the parade this afternoon. Oh, brother.
Well, I looked pretty snappy, didn't I?
Oh, Jimmy, you were as sharp as a Ubangi's pout, Jimmy. You were the only man in the Easter parade wearing a corsage.
Oh, that. Well, I had to wear my flower low, Fred.
Your flower low, huh?
Yes, a button came off my vest, and I had to plug up the buttonhole, you see.
You look like something that fell out of a hearse, Jimmy. I hate to say that.
Well, you weren't so hot with a pork pie hat and that herringbone Inverness. How far did you march in the parade, Fred?
Well, I started at 57th Street, Jimmy, but when I got down to 42nd Street, a man from Esquire stepped out of a doorway and gave me $10 to get back in the house. He knew if I stayed out another hour with that herringbone Inverness with the smelt in the back, he knew that Esquire was through.
Mr. Allen!
Well, Portland... Portland, you're just in time to help us lay an Easter egg, Portland. Don't forget colored eggs tonight, everybody. Colored eggs. Tell me, Portland, was your mother in the parade today?
Yes. Mama wore a victory gown.
What is a victory gown?
It's last year's dress with two war bonds pinned on it.
Last year's dress with two... Let's go over that again. Did you hear it? I mean, was it... Well, no, let's skip the thing. Well, tell me, did you like the parade this afternoon?
It was wonderful. Right in the middle of the parade, 40 mink were marching.
40 live mink marching?
Yes. When they came to 50th Street, the mink all stopped and spelled out I.J. Fox.
It must have been quite a sight.
There were wax and waves and spars and lady marines.
Oh, I know that. A lady civilian walked down Fifth Avenue and everybody cheered. It was... Well, so much for Easter, Portland. We'd better get along down to Allen's Alley.
What is your question tonight?
Well, this past week, newspaper publishers and editors from all over the country met here, convened here in New York City. And with the shortage of paper, they say that the daily newspapers may soon have to drop some of their features. And so our question tonight is, if newspapers have to be cut down in size, which features or pages would you rather see eliminated?
Shall we leave?
Take my arm, Portland. Here we are, back in good old Allen's Alley.
John Doe's light is on.
Yes, he's probably waiting up for us. I'll knock.
Oh, does it always have to be you?
Tell me, Mr. Doe, if newspapers are cut down, which feature do you think should go?
If the news section can go. Everybody knows the news. Rummel is still on the lam.
True.
The help wanted ads can go. Everybody's working.
Right.
The travel section can go. Nobody's going no place unless they're in the army.
That's right, too.
The sports section can go. It's the same story every day. The Dodgers is beating the Giants.
Even with the dead ball, they're doing it. Well, that eliminates the whole paper, Mr. Doe.
All but the obituary column.
Well, what about...
The obituary column can also go. If you're dead, nobody cares but you, and you can't read it. So long.
Yeah. Well, Now that John Doe has eliminated completely the Fourth Estate, let's see how the lady next door feels about it.
No.
Mrs. Nussbaum, what part of your newspaper would you suggest eliminating?
Prudence Pinkus could go.
True. You mean the cooking expert who has her daily recipes in the paper?
That schnook could cook, I'm laughing.
Well, what's wrong with Prudence Pinkus?
Last week in Prudence Pinkus's column is irascible.
Irascible, I see.
It is a watermelon upside down cake.
A watermelon upside down cake?
I am following directions. From four eggs, I'm taking only the yolks.
Yes?
One cup of your margarine.
Yes.
One watermelon should be ripe.
This is essential.
To this, I'm adding baking powder and extracts, all kinds.
Yes.
I am beating till fluffy.
Uh-huh.
Putting in the oven 2 hours.
And you had a watermelon upside down cake?
What I am having could be for Radio City a cornerstone.
It was heavy?
The cake is falling off the table and killing the cat a little. Prudence Pinkus, free.
Well, what went wrong?
The recipe is saying, put in 1 cup melted lead.
Melted lead? Well, that was a misprint. It must have meant melted lard. Did the lead in the cake bother you any?
Bother, he says. For 2 days, I've been hiccuping bullets.
Well, Mrs. Nussbaum has shot off her mouth. Let's see how Mr. Mulligan will react. Socrates, which feature in your newspaper can you dispense with?
You can have the whole paper. Just give me Joe Palooka.
You're a Joe Palooka fan, hey?
When I was a little kid, I first saw Joe Palooka.
Yeah?
Then I took an oath.
An oath to what?
The other kids was taking oath to grow up like George Washington or Singing Sam.
But you?
I took an oath to be like Joe Palooka.
And as you grew up?
All through life, I dressed like Joe Palooka. I talked like Joe Palooka.
I see.
If Joe Palooka was happy, I was happy. If Joe Palooka was sad, I was sad.
Well, after emulating your idol all these years, what has it gotten you?
Oh, today, thanks to Joe Palooka, I got me a reputation.
Really?
Every time I walk down the street,
yes?
People say, there goes that Palooka.
Well, again, we come to the end of the alley. Let's try here.
Easter is Easter, Wester is Wester. Falstaff's here to break up your siesta.
You have someone's whistling. You evidently lost a dog in here. You have some maybe a dog is whistling for somebody. You have some seasonal poems tonight, Troubadour Open Shore.
A crambo or two.
A crambo or
yes,
two.
Yes, have you heard? I left my hat at the stage door canteen when they caught me tilting the pinball machine.
No, I don't think so.
Or when they looked me up in Brad Street, I knew that I was done.
This is immaterial, irrelevant, and beside the point in your ration book, Falstaff. Tonight, we are discussing cutting down newspapers.
Precisely why I am here. I have written a poem.
What is your newspaper poem called?
It has no title.
Oh, it hasn't? How does it go?
Everyone reads a paper, has a totally different view. The section that absorbs one man won't mean a thing to you. The banker wants only the market reports. A kid will cry for Buck Rogers. The debutante reads the society news. A ball fan wants news of the Dodgers. The armchair general wants word of the war. A horse player results from all tracks. The undertaker gloats on the obituary page. The housewife wants ads about slacks. But give me a newspaper just as it is, after it's been read by the bunch. One page is the same as another to me. I just use it to wrap up my lunch.
This magazine for me, Portland?
Yes. It's a copy of Newsweek in case you want to make up some jokes.
Oh, topical jokes. That's a good idea. What's in the news this week?
Well, President Roosevelt just finished a trip to Mexico.
I know. You know, the day the president left, 200 people tried to break into the White House.
Why?
Well, word got around that there was an empty room in Washington. Tell me, what else is in the news?
Last Tuesday was Hitler's birthday.
Oh, I saw that. The Russians sent Hitler a birthday card. It was a picture of Germany, and on it it said, "Many happy returns." Is there any, don't bother. Is there any other news?
Well, isn't it time for our guest?
Well, we haven't any guest tonight, Portland. I haven't had time to look for a guest all week. I've been busy packing up to move. I'm as tired as an air raid warden in Berlin.
Have you found...
Now, wait a minute. Wait, we go 20 minutes without a laugh, and we're one...
Have you found a new place to live?
Well, I went over to a real estate agent on 6th Avenue. The sign said Analik Brothers Real Estate Ventures. I opened the door. A man in a long alpaca coat, who was sitting on a camp stool, got up and said...
Yes, sir, what's on your mind?
Well, my name is Alan. I'm looking for an apartment.
Apartments are scarce, brother. I only have a one-room suite. It's $400 a month.
$400 for one room?
Not the whole room. There are three other families living in the room. But they're all lovely people.
Well, wait a minute.
Excuse me, Mr. Analik.
Are you back?
Yeah, my wife and I have decided to take that one room with the closet.
Oh, good. The price?
Oh, you said we could have it for $850 a month if we didn't go in the closet.
If I catch you in the closet, it's $950 a month. You won't go in the closet?
I'll take a note.
And before you sign this lease, one more thing.
Yeah?
Have you any children?
Well,
come clean, you!
We have a little baby.
A baby? And you want an apartment? You dirty rat! Take that!
Oh,
hand
that!
Hey, hand that! The knife of that guy. Trying to rent an apartment with a baby. I'm so mad I could spit. Tweet!
Oh, now, wait. What about my apartment, Mr. Analik?
Well, we're having some fire escapes upholstered. But they won't be ready till the paint dries. Oh, wait a minute. A guy come in a minute ago. He wants to rent his house. Come over here, bud. Mr. Allen, meet Bela Lugosi.
Thank you, thank you.
Mr. Lugosi, I'm Fred Allen. I guess my face looks familiar, doesn't it?
Yes, you look like something that fell out of a closet the night I was on Inner Sanctum.
Well, I knew you'd remember me. You know, the last time I saw you here in New York, you were a big hit in that play, Dracula.
Yes, Fred. That was back in 1927. I've been in Hollywood ever since.
Well, how come you're back from Hollywood now? Did they catch you shoplifting in a blood bank out there?
No, I'm here to do a revival of Dracula. I just finished Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman for Universal.
Another musical, hey? Tell me, how does it feel, you fellas in the horror business, how does it feel to go into a theater and hear people hissing you on the screen?
Hissing to an actor who plays monsters is applause.
Well, I guess that's right. They say that one night Boris Karloff was in the Star Club, a radiator started hissing, and Karloff got up and took four bows.
Yes, yes. When people stop hissing Karloff and me, we'll be through.
Oh, yes. And when people start hissing me, I'll be through. And it could happen tonight, Mr. LeGros. Thank you very much.
With your face, Fred, you can always go into the monster business.
Well, that's fine. I'll know where to scare up a job from now on. But tell me, Mr. Lugosi, how long will you be in New York?
I'm leaving next week to open my play, Dracula, in Boston.
Uh-huh.
I came to this real estate office to sublease my house.
Well, I'm looking for a place, Mr. Lugosi. Now, perhaps we can make a deal. May I see your house?
Sure. Here is the address. Drop up this afternoon.
Fine.
If I am not home...
I thought you'd left for home.
So anyhow, if I'm not home, go in and look around, Fred. Here's the key. I'll see you later.
So long. Well, after Mr. Lugosi. After Mr. Lugosi had gone, Portland.
Yes?
I looked at the key to his house. It was a skeleton key.
Gosh. What did you do?
Well, late that afternoon, I started out for Lugosi's place. It was just getting dark. The wind was blowing. A storm was coming up. After walking about an hour, I finally found Lugosi's house. Ooh, it was a dismal-looking joint on a side street. I walked up the rickety steps, and as I started to put the key in the lock, the front door opened slowly. I walked in, and the door creaked closed. And then a woman's voice said,
"Ah, how do you do?"
Well, how do you do, Mrs. Lugosi?
I'm not Mrs. Lugosi.
No? Who are you?
I'm the sister of Frankenstein. Come in, brother.
I just came to see about renting this house.
This house is evil, evil. Go while you still have time.
But Mr. Lugosi...
Mr. Lugosi is a fiend. Go, I tell you, go while you still have time.
Hey, she'd better lay off the Benzedrine that way. Gosh, it's gloomy in here. What's this? Gad, a human head rolling down the hall.
What's up, chum?
Who's that? Who's talking?
It's me, down here, the head.
Who are you, head?
I used to be a friend of Lugosi's.
What became of your body?
I had a corn on one foot. Lugosi told me he was a chiropodist.
Yes?
He started cutting off my corn. I fell asleep.
Yes?
I could feel Lugosi cutting, cutting.
Yes?
When I woke up, my corn was gone, Lugosi was gone, I was gone.
You were gone?
All but my head.
Gad, Lugosi must be mad.
Lugosi's mad? How do you think I feel?
I know, I know.
Well, chum, I gotta get along. Stop me rolling, will you?
In what direction?
Which way is we the people?
It's over this way. I'll give you a head start. Here we go. Gad, this place is spooky. Who are you?
I am a lady ghost. I'm releasing a man ghost for essential haunting.
Whose ghost are you?
I'm the ghost of Joe Besser.
Joe Besser?
Yes. I came here to spook for Joe.
I'm getting out of here. Ah, here's a door. No, it's a closet. Somebody's in here. Who is it? Lugosi.
Yes. Lugosi.
Gosh, for a minute I was scared, Bella. What are you doing in this closet?
I was just hanging something up.
I see what you mean. Well, Baylor, old man, I'll be running along.
Fred, you haven't seen my house yet.
No, but I...
Here, let me take you by the hand.
Oh, Gad, your hand is clammy. It's like holding five eels with hangnails.
You'll get used to it. Come, I'll show you my heating system.
What was that shriek?
It's nothing. It came from the furnace.
The furnace?
Yes. I used to burn oil, but I converted it to people.
Look, Bella, I've got to get back to the Union League Club. I have a chess game waiting, and something tells me it's my move.
But you haven't seen my charming little home yet.
Hello, Mr. Lugosi.
Hello.
Say, I didn't see anybody. Who was that?
Oh, the invisible man. He's just stepping into the library.
Oh!
What was that, the invisible man?
Yes, he got his ectoplasm caught in the door.
Now, look. Look, Bella, I don't think I'll bother about the house. I'll move into the Y. I'm a member there.
It won't take a minute, Fred. I'll show you.
Wait a minute. What is that?
It's only the telephone. Mrs. Frankenstein will answer it. I have some dirty work to do.
Now, wait a minute, Lugosi. Where are you taking me? Let go of my arm.
Be quiet, you fool.
I knew it. You didn't get me here to rent this house, Lugosi. You lured me here to kill me.
You will soon find out, Fred Allen.
Help! Save me! Save me! Help! Help! Help!
You see, Fred Allen, I'm all powerful. I'm all knowing. Now, into the laboratory. Iago, Panto!
Yes,
no, no. Put me down. I'll give you my money. My yo-yo.
Bring him to that table.
No.
Yes, master.
No. You're mad, Lugosi. Mad. What are you going to do?
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I have been luring people to my house to complete my greatest horror masterpiece. I'm making a monster greater than Frankenstein.
A monster?
Yes. I'm building a radio monster. I will use the brain of Red Skelton.
Yes.
The body of Skinny Ennis. And the singing voice of Georgie Yassel.
Well, what do you want? What do you want of me?
I have heard your program. My monster needs a lot of nerve. You have more nerve than anyone in the world.
You're mad, Lugosi.
Enough. Enough talk. I shall now operate and remove your nerve.
Everything is ready, Master.
Anesthetic.
Anesthetic.
Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Forceps.
Forceps.
Anything with a point.
Anything with a point.
Now, one little snip, and then...
Someone's at the door. Help! Help! Help!
Well, you help. Fool! Nobody can save you. No power on earth can stop me.
Mr. Baylor Lugosi?
No. Not you. No. No!
Yes, I have come for you, Baylor Lugosi.
No, no!
Gad, Lugosi's fainted. I'm saved. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
That's all Thank right. You. That's all right. Stop licking my hand.
But you frightened Lugosi. Who are you?
I'm chairman of his draft board.
We'll be right back.
The Fred Allen Show was rebroadcast for you men and women in the Armed Forces of the United Nations by the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America.